It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Friday, October 29th, 2021. We have 16 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have a small craft advisory in effect through Saturday morning. Today, expect north winds 15 to 20 knots with gusts to 25. Rising to 20 to 25 with gusts to 30 later on. Wind waves from the north, 5 feet at 7 seconds, and northwest swells, 10 feet at 12 seconds. Rain early in the morning. And these wind intensities are the marine weather forecast, so you'd expect to experience these if you were out in a boat or right on the seashore. And what we're going to talk about today, it's atmospheric rivers. I got a question from KMUN's manager, Graham Nystrom, who asked me about when the term atmospheric river came about. And so I kind of dove into that topic and found out a lot of really interesting things. So thanks, Graham, for sending me on an interesting trail of information that I could share with everyone here. Let's take a look at our ship schedule. We have 3 inbounders. We have 6 in our Astoria anchorages, and we have 7 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. First arrival in the river, the Genuine Ace. She won't be here till this afternoon, around 4:30 p.m. past Astoria in Vancouver, about 10:30. She's arriving from Tacoma, headed for Vancouver, and she has Subarus on board, so she's a car carrier, one of those very high-sided vessels. The ATB Vision, she's a Crowley Maritime articulated tug and barge rig, arriving from Anacortes, headed for Portland, refined petroleum there. She'll pass Astoria around 6:30 p.m. and arrive in Portland around 12:30 p.m. The ATB Dublin C, another articulated tug and barge rig, arriving from Port Angeles, headed for Portland, refined petroleum there as well. Passing Astoria around 8 p.m., she will arrive in Portland around 2 a.m. on Saturday morning. Well, I got a question about atmospheric rivers yesterday, and so I dove in a bit more into this very interesting topic, and I want to share with you today what I found out. And many thanks to my sources for this information today. That's NOAA, NASA, NBC News, the Scripps Institution for Oceanography, and meteorologist Gordon McCraw. So what's an atmospheric river again? Well, a river on land is a place where water accumulates and moves in the same direction. On land, rainfall gathers in gullies and gulches, joins with runoff, forms tributaries, and eventually mighty rivers. Water in the atmosphere behaves similarly and forms rivers in the sky. Now, atmospheric rivers are, quote, long and narrow corridors of intense water vapor transport. That's a quote from Francina Dominguez, a hydroclimatologist from the University of Illinois. When did this term atmospheric river first come into use? Well, we never heard this term until recent years. That's because the term originated in the early 1990s when meteorologists Reginald Newell and Yang Zhu published a study in the journal Geophysical Research Letters describing their discovery of what they called tropospheric rivers, regions in the atmosphere where water vapor accumulates and persists for days at a time. So what's the troposphere? It's the lowest region of the atmosphere, extending from the Earth's surface to a height of about 6 miles. Atmospheric rivers can be hundreds of miles wide and over 1,000 miles long, and the amount of water in the form of water vapor that flows through them is comparable to the largest land rivers in the world. In fact, the most frequent comparison you see is comparing an atmospheric river to the flow of the Mississippi River. So, say, 6 times the flow of the Mississippi River. That is a lot of water. These sky-based rivers typically form over oceans when large cold fronts move from west to east. So strong jets of wind moving away from the equator form ahead of the cold front and transport moist air in the atmospheric river. So these atmospheric rivers, storms are usually pretty warm. It was 60 degrees yesterday. That's not bad for almost November. Compared to a river on land, atmospheric rivers change quickly. Here's another quote from Dominguez. They're moving all of the time. They exist and then they die out. They're very dynamic in space and in time, and dynamic means changing all the time. So atmospheric rivers may form frequently in more or less the same location. For example, a path between Hawaii and the U.S. West Coast has been nicknamed the Pineapple Express. You've probably heard that term. Atmospheric rivers and storms that form from that moisture in that region might be casually called the Pineapple Express as well. Atmospheric rivers are responsible for most of the heavy rainfall in the western United States. But do they form anywhere besides here? Yes, they do. They're a global phenomenon. They appear in both the northern and southern hemispheres, extending from tropical or subtropical regions to the middle latitudes, more than 30 degrees north or south of the equator. Other areas affected by atmospheric rivers include Chile, Australia, South Africa, and Western Europe. An estimated 90% of moisture in the air at these mid-latitudes comes from atmospheric rivers. So they are they play a key role in distributing water vapor around the world. Now, scientists say that atmospheric rivers will get more frequent because of climate change. In a warming world, warm air holds more moisture. The amount of moisture in the air is certain to rise. We know scientists say that models are showing that atmospheric rivers will indeed transport more water. So how do you identify an atmospheric river? Well, scientists look for corridors of water vapor in the atmosphere that are more than about 1,250 miles long and less than 620 miles wide that have at least 0.78 inches of vertically integrated precipitatable water, meaning there's a band of water almost an inch thick up there for over 1,000 miles long. That's a lot of water. And it's precipitable means that it is ready to rain on us, and does. Atmospheric rivers primarily occur during the winter of the respective hemispheres, so winter, December, January, February, in our northern hemisphere, June, July, and August for the southern hemisphere. So NBC News found that atmospheric rivers cause an average of $1.1 billion in flood damages annually in the western U.S., and there is a scale that measures the intensity of atmospheric rivers, kind of like a hurricane. A team of researchers in 2019, led by Scripps Institution of Oceanography, that's at the University of California in San Diego, created a scale to characterize the strength and impacts of atmospheric rivers. The scale ranks atmospheric rivers from 1 to 5 in intensity. 1 is weak, 5 is exceptional. So they measure amounts of water vapor within a period of 24 to 48 hours as a standard duration of an atmospheric river. Oregon is a hot spot for atmospheric rivers. We get them a lot. Previous analysis has shown that on the West Coast, the Oregon coast receives the most atmospheric rivers in the extreme range. That's atmospheric river category 4, averaging about one of those extreme ones per year. The one we had yesterday was about a 2, according to meteorologist Gordon McCraw. And Washington receives an extreme atmospheric river about every 2 years, the Bay Area, San Francisco, about every 3, and Los Angeles, about every 10. Seems like we've already had a couple of atmospheric rivers this year, and we may have more of them, so we'll just have to see how it goes. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening. Looks like I hope you have a wonderful weekend. It looks like we're going to get a break from atmospheric rivers, at least for the next couple of days.